you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
From James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Oh, I could go on, Jason, but, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, March 26, 2021. And because on Fridays we study and talk about and look at the book of James, those are my opening verses, and the title of the section is Taming the Tongue. What a challenge for all of us, especially for broadcasters or people that like to talk a lot, which I fall into that camp, but there's this warning almost about teachers especially, or those that will be in the pulpit or sharing or dividing God's word, that there's maybe even a little higher bar as far as what they say and share. So we'll dive into this in just a minute, but I want to alert our listeners. As many of them know, on Wednesday I talked about Tim and Beth Nelson were coming to our area. We're praying up whether Tim may be offered and assume the role as operations manager of our Springfield ministry. So last night it was launched. We got them in, and we had a dinner at the center with a number of our staff and board members. And then today it's a rigorous program. There'll be breakfast pretty soon at the original Pancake House. We'll take them for lunch in Springfield to meet with some of the staff there and some of our board and show them around the studio facility and building, and return them back here in the evening so they can have a little family time. But we are praying up who God may use to fulfill this role and this position in Springfield and be a part of our ever-growing ministry team. So I mentioned it on Wednesday, Jason, that he and his wife would be flying in. They got in yesterday afternoon, and it's going to be a whirlwind for the next number of days as we show them around, as we really pray, is God in fact calling he and his wife to be a part of our ministry? It'll involve him moving from International Falls, Minnesota. So he's up on the Canadian border. He's a part of a radio network there and 30-plus years of experience. But we really have a piece about it. He has a piece about it. But we now really need to see, is God totally in it, directing all of us? And so hopefully over the next few days that'll be confirmed. Or maybe God has other plans for him and someone else to fulfill that role. But I'm anxiously or excitingly looking forward to seeing who God will raise up to shoulder some of the burden and be an integral part of the ministry. And I may even have him on Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends. So we'll see what we could fit in over the next so many days. But appreciate all of our listeners' prayers, as it's a very unique and special role that he'll play. And we're hoping he's the right fit. Seemingly everything is falling together, and if it is God's stamp of who should be a part of the ministry, I have more that I can share about how God pulled it all together, but I'm not quite ready to say it's God's man for the position, because we still have to talk through a lot of things and see him and meet him and see if he feels it's God's calling on his life too. So appreciate your prayers, everyone, and we'll have more to say maybe Monday, Tuesday, or in the coming weeks.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. So taming
the... Well, let's get on to this taming the tongue, right?
Yeah, how about it?
You got your seatbelt on, Mark?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, actually, this is interesting because a lot of people, and we won't even get to taming the tongue or really talking about the tongue, but a lot of people, they treat this as a separate teaching. You know, we come to the beginning of chapter 3, and we treat it as a separate teaching. You know, not many of you should suppose to become teachers, for you will be judged more severely. And so people say, well, you know, that's all about teachers. you know, James is now talking about something new. Well, he's not talking about something new. He's actually, this is a progression, because in chapter 2, remember, he was talking about the kind of faith that produces good works. Hmm. Now, what is one of the good works that we do that God has called us to walk in? And that is to share the gospel, to take the scriptures, take what we have hidden inside of our hearts, and begin to live that out in the world. And so we become, you know, as I think many people have quoted and said, I don't know who it's attributed to, but oftentimes the first Bible that somebody reads is you. And that's because you take that, you meditate upon God's word, and you begin to store it inside of your heart. And so, you know, we talk about, and you even alluded to it in the beginning, you know, that not many of you should suppose to become teachers, my brothers. And, you know, those who stand in pulpits, or maybe those who teach in Sunday school, or those who, you know, maybe teach in a para ministry, or maybe a traveling ministry, I don't know. But here's something that we really need to comprehend when it comes to following Jesus. Everybody is leading somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So every single person, regardless of roles, is teaching somebody. My wife has never been in the pulpit formally, you know, giving a long message in the pulpit. But my wife is teaching every single day because she has little people who are following her. And every single person who's listening to this broadcast right now has somebody who's following them.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the question is, where are they following you? Are they following you towards Jesus, or are they following you towards somewhere else? You remember when Jesus talked to the Pharisees about how they were living their lives, how they were living the scriptures out, what did he say? He said, you make disciples, sure, but they're twice the sons of hell. And so there is the kind of disciple or kind of teaching that comes out of our lives that leads people away from God, and then there is the kind that leads them to God. Now, he says, not many of you should become teachers. Now, this isn't elitist. You know, this isn't that there is only a small camp of people who have this giftedness to teach. Now, I do believe that there are some who are definitely more gifted than others. Maybe they're just more comfortable. God has wired them to communicate in such a way, you know, in the way that they can use their voice. And God has given them gifts in that manner. But every single person can teach somebody something. Again, everybody is following somebody. But when James says not many of you should suppose to become teachers, what he's saying is that people who desire to teach need to live to the standard that God sets, not their own standard. And therefore, giftedness is actually the last thing on the list. Prior to giftedness, the important things for those who desire to teach and those who desire to lead is accountability,
mm-hmm.
is responsibility, is living a life to the scriptures, not apart from the scriptures. A giftedness comes last. The fact that your voice can be used in a certain kind of way, or you have a way with words. Listen, James is going to say later on when he talks about the tongue that, listen, you might be good with your words, but that doesn't mean that it does good things. And those good things that your words can do come out of a life that is a life lived in accountability and lived in responsibility. It's character in light of living out the scriptures. You know, Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 48, to whom much is given, much is required. And so you've been given much because you've been given the scriptures. You've been given God's word, breathed out by God. You've been given the Holy Spirit so that you don't read that word just simply in your own flesh. You read that word with the Spirit, and the Spirit begins to bring things out of that word because that word, as you read it with the Holy Spirit, is living and it is active.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus says, to whom much is given, much will be required, well, the scriptures have a requirement of us, don't they?
Yeah.
The scriptures call us by the very nature of what they are to live to God's way and not our way. And so we have been given much. We have been given a pathway that leads us towards holiness and towards what God desires us to be, that we would exude more and more the character and the integrity, the accountability and responsibility of those who are called the people of God, those who are called beloved. Now, that requires, you would say, well, you know, what the scriptures say that we're supposed to hide the word in our heart. Well, why is that so? Because Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 says that out of the mouth comes from what's in the heart.
Yeah.
And so we need to open up our mouths. And as we're teaching, because again, when I say teacher, I know that everybody who's listening to this is predisposed to going, oh, the preacher, oh, the Sunday school teacher, oh, the, no. everybody is leading somebody. If you walk away with anything in listening to this, it is that everybody is leading somebody. I don't care who you are that's listening to this. You are leading somebody. And so now where are you leading them? Towards God or away from God? And when you open your mouth, what comes out of your mouth? The things that the Apostle Paul would say that are beautiful, that are kind, that are honoring, that build people up? Or do the things that come out of your mouth, they sound nothing like the Scripture? They sound nothing like the words of God. They sound nothing like the things that God has spoken over us and to us. And so when James says not many of you should become teachers, he's saying not many of you have spent enough time, have committed your life to the Word of God in such a way that it overflows out of you. But listen, the beautiful thing is that opportunity is available to everybody. It's the best-selling book ever. You can get a copy for free. You just go to a hotel room. They want you to. It's the one thing in the hotel room they want you to take. They're okay with it. But not many of you should become supposed to become teachers. Now, why would James say this? Well, you know, in James' day and in our day, people struggle with living to the applause of men. In fact, the book of Galatians, there is a correction for that. Because it is so easy. We have to admit that we love when people say good things about us. We love when people congratulate us or when people give us applause. We love the accolades of people. And sometimes we can live to that instead of living to the applause of one who is God.
Mm-hmm.
And so the danger in becoming a teacher is that you could use God's word in such a way that God doesn't get the glory, but that you take the glory for yourself. You round up that applause, you round up those accolades, and you go, oh, that's for me. No, it's not. A life lived out of the Scriptures and through the Scriptures is a life that constantly says, not me, but him,
mm-hmm.
and gives glory to him. Now, Jesus was, when he addressed this problem, he was talking to a specific kind of people. He was talking to the Pharisees. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23, we have the woes, the seven woes that Jesus pronounces to the Pharisees and how they are living outside of or apart from the Scriptures, even though they were lifting up the Scriptures and calling other people to live to them. It's kind of interesting because the teachers of the law and the Pharisees would assume this position called al-Kathedra, which was the seat of Moses. It was a position of authority and position of teaching. But it's very fascinating that throughout Jewish history, there are some Jewish commentators who said that the Pharisees were not rightful successors of the seat of Moses. Instead, they took it by force. Meaning that they were not rightful heirs of that seat because they did not come to that position of authority through humility and submission to God's word. They came to it for the accolades of men and for themselves. And so they took it by force. Now, what's really interesting is when Jesus interacts in chapter 23 of Matthew with the Pharisees, he says this. He says, whatever they bid you to observe, observe and do. So he says, listen, the Pharisees are right. The Pharisees understand the law. And when they call you to observe the law, that's a good and right thing. You ought to observe the law, God's word. But then he says, but not the works that they do. For they preach, but they don't practice. And so Jesus says, listen, the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they do know the law. So when they're talking about the law, you should perk up and you should listen because they're talking about God's word. But when they try and tell you how to live that word out, don't listen to them because they don't practice what they preach.
Mm-hmm.
And it is possible. And this is the really disturbing thing. It is possible to know the word. It is possible to memorize the word. It is possible to hold on to the word in such a way that you can appear to be so darn gifted with the word of God, but not live it out, that it shows no impact or evidence in your life. Now, I think you said at one of our programs in recent weeks, Mark, that if you were to be brought into a court to be convicted for living out the word of God, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, there's not enough evidence. In fact, you're not making disciples who follow God. You're making disciples who are twice the sons of hell. And then what's fascinating is James says, you'll be judged with greater strictness. And that's because, you know, and it's really fascinating. We'll just look into the book of Mark in the seventh chapter in verse 42. And it says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone hung around his neck than were to be thrown into the sea. Hmm. What I think is really fascinating is whenever Jesus says something once, it's quoted once, you go, that's probably important. When it's quoted twice, you go, I think that's probably really important. When it's quoted three times, that's an exclamation point saying, you need to follow this. This exact verse that I just read to you is quoted almost verbatim in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 6, Mark chapter 9 and verse 42, and Luke chapter 17 and verse 2. Jesus means this. If you teach in such a way that you cause these who believe to stumble, it would be better for you to have a great weight tied around your neck and you to be thrown into the depths of the sea. And so there, you know, if you say, well, James, I mean, come on, judged with greater strictness, you're being a little hard, buddy. No. You know who's actually being hard? Jesus. Because Jesus takes the word of God seriously. The word made flesh takes the word seriously. And he calls people not only to live out that word faithfully, but to then teach that word through their life faithfully. Now, James does offer something fascinating, doesn't he? He says in beginning of verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. So he says, listen, none of us have got this thing nailed perfectly. We all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. By the way, there's only one perfect man, and that's Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So we will stumble. But in our stumbling, do we then repent and turn, and do we allow Christ to lift us up? Listen, when Peter got out of the boat, he made a fatal mistake, didn't he? He took his eyes off of Jesus for a moment. And what happened? Mm-hmm. He began to sink. But in that moment, what also happened? He cried out to Jesus, and Jesus grabbed a hold of him and lifted him up and said, listen, you're still a work in progress. You're still a work in progress, and we'll continue to work on this together. I'm paraphrasing it and softening it. Hope nobody gets upset. But I really think there's a grace and a kind of kindness that Jesus exudes in that passage towards Peter that is not condemning, as some sometimes like to preach it. Because if it was condemning, then he wouldn't continue to call Peter to come closer and closer and closer and then say to him, on this rock, I'll build my church. And Peter, you're going to really be a part of this thing. And so I think that when we look at this passage here, that not many should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness, for we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man. That when we look at that, we need to understand that our time in the Word is not just simply for us to check off a box, but our time in the Word of God actually informs not only our life, but it informs the life of others. And so I wonder if maybe there'll be some people who are listening to this right now who are bold enough to say, Lord, when they open their Bible, Lord, help me to take this word and to put it inside of me in such a way that it changes my life today. And not only that it changes my life, but Lord, use this word that I'm reading right now to change the life of somebody who will see me living it out today.
You know, Jason, I love how you say and have pointed out that this isn't just directed towards teachers. We're all teachers. We're all influencing someone, whether it's even someone in the grocery store. You know, maybe it's a clerk. Maybe it's a gas station attendant. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's our children. Maybe it's in a position like a pastor or a teacher. But we all influence. We all are leading someone. And then we can take hope in this second verse. We all stumble. Basically, James and the Spirit of God is saying, yes, none of us are going to be perfect. We're going to regret some of the things we've said. Yes, we're going to put our foot in our mouth, but we can go back and say, hey, you know, I was wrong. I'm sorry I shared something that I said. I gossiped. I wasn't kind with my words. It wasn't seasoned with the love of God that I want to exhibit. Please forgive me. And, you know, when we go before the Lord, Lord, again, my tongue, it was out of control, or it was harsh with someone. And yet I think James and the Holy Spirit and God know certainly that we all are going to stumble. But Are we going to get back up? Are we going to commit our voice, our lips, our words to the Lord and allow Him to work through what we say and share?
Mm-hmm. And we just need to pray. You know, I read a long time ago a rabbinical commentary that said those who seek the Lord are those who are slow to speak and quick to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to spend a whole lot more time listening and maybe a little less time speaking, because that way we can spend time praying and asking the Lord that what we do speak would then teach.
Hmm. Yeah, what is that? May the meditations of my heart and, you know, just mm-hmm. that whole concept. What are the words that are generated in our mind coming out of our heart because we've spent time with the Lord, you know, being saturated by His thinking, His Word, by godly things that we're pondering and thinking about, and then hopefully what comes out of our mouth is generated from what's going on in our heart. And may we, I guess, experience the love of God today and hold on to it and grasp His great love for us so that we can love others, those different than us, those that maybe we don't get along with. That'll be the Holy Spirit speaking and working through us. Ooh, a high ideal. The scriptures are not always that easy, but it wants us to model Christ to a hurting world. It wants us to know the love of God that He has for us. And I know the Super Bowl of Christian holidays are coming up for you pretty soon here, Jason, with Easter around the corner and that message that gets proclaimed that the Lord Jesus Christ came and He died for us. But He rose from the dead. He will be returning. He's here to equip us this very day to watch the words we use and to share the love of God to those around us. So we all have that high calling. Oh, great passage of Scripture, James chapter 3. We encourage you to read it today. Be in God's Word. Attend church this Sunday. Havarim with other believers. You know, talk about God's Word. Fellowship with others so that they can encourage you on your faith journey. And if you're searching, or maybe this concept about having a relationship with God, or can I trust the Bible, or who is Jesus, if you have some questions, there's an 800 number with some great people that'll answer anything you have, or can even pray for you. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.